Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the broadcast today and for a brand new week of broadcasting here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Jim is back in the studio. It's great to have Jim back, and our condolences to his wife and her dad passed away just a couple of weeks ago. So, Jim, it's good to have you back in the studio with us here today. And so for the folks out there on sermonaudio.com, you can actually watch once again the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. So we're broadcasting live, streaming live out there at www.sermonaudio.com. You can go then to / Knowing the Truth, and it'll take you right to that page. And as I like to mention about that web streaming, that webcast that's taking place, it's not just me sitting here talking. Boy, that would be interesting. But it is actually much more interactive than that. In fact, you'll see the guest on the program today. You'll see his photo and a copy of his book, the image of his book, and so forth will be on there. In fact, in the break today, at the bottom of the hour, we'll be playing an edited version of a short video clip that our guest had out on YouTube talking about his book. So for the folks watching by sermonaudio.com, those folks will actually hear and see that clip on the web, while the folks here listening via the airwaves, the 50,000-watt station, and the four states that covers, they will hear the actual commercials that take place during the break. So two different things going on during that couple-minute break, 2-3-minute breaks that we take at the bottom of the hour. I mentioned a brand-new week of broadcasting. Let me tell you what's up so far on the schedule. First of all, today we're going to be talking about a brand-new book that's called Grounded in the Faith. And I'll give you some more information and talk to you about the author there in just a moment. We'll bring the author into the conversation. Tomorrow, on the first half of the broadcast from World Magazine, we'll be speaking with Daniel James Devine. And specifically, we'll be talking with him about some public school teachers who are involved in a court case, and also related to that, about intelligent design and about what some scientists are saying about intelligent design. And then on Thursday's broadcast of this week, we'll be speaking with Fred Sanders. And Fred wrote a book about John Wesley. And so it's put out by Crossway, and we'll be talking with him about John Wesley, and specifically about Wesley and his methodology about spiritual life. And so we're looking forward to that throughout the rest of the week. On the broadcast today, we're going to talk about the subject of catechizing a little bit. Is that a word that's new to you? Maybe a lot of folks in our listening audience that may be from Reform backgrounds, or maybe even more specifically from a Presbyterian background, they would be very familiar with the idea of a catechism. One of my favorite books is written by Richard Baxter, called The Reform Pastor. And I mention very often, I actually carry the outline of that book around with me in my Bible, and I use that as a job description for the pastoral ministry. Well, Richard Baxter was well known for his work on catechizing. In other words, catechizing is a systematic teaching of the doctrines of the Bible. There's 107 questions in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answers, and it's used to kind of quiz ourselves and others that are under our care as to whether or not they understand the doctrines that are being taught. Well, that subject, catechizing, comes to mind when we think about this book that we're talking about today, called Grounded in the Faith. It's put out by Baker Publishing Group. I'll give you that website as we go through the program today. But it says this, and in the statement that's put out by the publisher, it says, the greatest challenge for the 21st century church is the lack of training in biblical doctrinal knowledge. We are raising up generations of Christians who often have little idea what they should believe and why they should believe it. Grounded in the Faith takes up the challenge with 24 low-prep, in-depth sessions that will ground believers in the basics of their faith. This field-tested guide to growth in the Christian faith covers important topics such as justification, overcoming temptation, sanctification, evidence for the inspiration of the Bible, the value of prayer, the guidance of God, the Trinity, the uniqueness of Christ, and the attributes of God. And so you can see it covers a broad range of topics, and it does so in a way that is put forth, that's easy to understand, with follow-up questions and other helps like that afterwards. It looks like a really good resource. So my guest on the program today is the author of that book. The author is Ken Arisman. He's from Converge Worldwide, which was formerly called the Baptist General Conference. And Ken, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Kevin. This is a great privilege for me. It really is.
Okay.
So I want to thank you.
Oh, no problem at all, Ken. It's our pleasure to have you on. And Ken, why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about the work that you do there with Converge.
All right. I was converted to Christ in my college years when I was almost 20, and I heard the gospel all my life, but and when I was young, I even made a profession of faith, but I lived like a pagan during my teenage years, and both my wife and myself kind of came to faith. We were converted at the same time, or the same night. We had gone to church, and the pastor, or actually had an evangelist who stated, if you were to die today, do you know if you go to heaven? And she kind of asked that question to me, and I said, well, sure, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I knew those words, but it really not had penetrated my heart. And she said, well, you live as bad or worse than all of our friends. And I said, oh, I can't deny that. And we came to grips that we probably really weren't believers, even though we had claimed to be, because there was really no fruit in our lives of any righteousness that Christ produces. And so at that time, we just really put our faith and trust in Christ and trusted in Him alone, and that was really the beginning of my conversion. And so at that time, I'd been going to college, and I just felt like, well, I'm supposed to, if this is real, I want to give my whole life to it. And at that, I believe that was kind of the initial kind of calling. God prompted me to become a pastor, so I went to Calvary Bible College, and now it's Bible College and Theological Seminary, and graduated from there, and then also received my master's degree in New Testament literature and exegesis at Calvary Theological Seminary in Kansas City. And then I went 4 years to Dallas Theological Seminary, and when I got out, I thought there would just be hundreds of churches just waiting for seminary students to come, and that really wasn't so.
Yeah.
And we wound up, we were going to start a church, and we found out there was a church plant already in Blue Springs, Missouri, and so through a long series of circumstances, we got hooked up there, and I became the pastor there, and was there for about 8 years. And then we felt the Lord leading us to plant a new church in a adjoining community. And I've been there since 1990.
Is that what Converge is involved in? And I wanted to comment, too, on that statement that was asked you, you know, where they said, if you were to die tonight, sounds like somebody there took the D. James Kennedy EE course, right? That was the opening,
yeah.
The diagnostic questions that they would ask, you know, if you were to die today. And if you did die today and you were to stand at the gate of heaven and the Lord said, why should I let you in? What would be your response? And obviously, out of those two questions, then they use them to see what people are really trusting in. And then they go into a gospel presentation from there. But what is Converge? Is it basically involved then in church planting?
Yeah, it has a huge church planting movement. It's a denomination. It used to be called the Baptist General Conference. So I think a couple of the well-known people, John Piper belongs to Converge,
okay.
or Baptist General Conference. And the guy out, I can't think of his name right now, the Woodbridge Church, I think he's the president of the Theological Association. That's terrible, I can't remember.
Okay.
But it's the Baptist General Conference. They recently changed their name to Converge Worldwide just to be more inclusive of other groups.
I see. Now, in writing this book, then, came out of your experience, I would imagine, as a pastor, and especially with planting churches or being involved in the pastoral ministry. What exactly did you see there in your experience with working with folks that made you think, you know, what is really necessary is a book like this, grounded in the faith?
Well, I've always had this kind of dream that, you know, when you disciple someone, you know, here's the deal, you know, almost all Christian leaders, they agree that discipleship is absolutely vital to the mission of the church. But what I found through the years is that very few leaders or pastors really have a good workable tool to help others to be grounded in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
I started off like with the Campus Crusade, or CRU now, 10 Steps for Christian Maturity, and went through the Navigators things, and I feel like this work that I did really kind of stands on their shoulders, that not putting them down at all, but some of those things I just found hard to use, or at least if you use them with someone, it's hard for them to turn around and use those tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been looking for years for something that is in depth, that stays right on track, doesn't get off on various, you know, trails you can go down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the essential core essentials of the Christian faith, historic sound biblical doctrine. I mean, since the Reformation especially, churches have, and leaders and pastors have wrestled through these tough things. And there really is a core, essential group of doctrines that all, you know, true evangelical churches hold to, and so I've been looking for something like that, and just haven't found it. So a few years ago, clear back in I think around 2007, I decided to start teaching. We have like an adult Sunday school. Putting together some materials to get people really grounded in the essentials of the faith, and that was the beginning point, and it kind of grew out of that into the book.
I had used some of that Navigator material early on in my Christian life as well. I had taken a Navigator 2:7 course, rooted and built up in Him. It's from Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so I took that course, memorizing a number of verses, looking at different theological points. It really was quite an assistance early on in my Christian life.
Sure.
But as you mentioned, or as I mentioned in reading the intro for your book, we do find ourselves today at a place where we find a group of professing Christians that really are at times don't really know what they believe, and it results in certainly you don't get a whole lot of joyous and victorious Christian living. It results in a lack of discernment about what is taking place in our culture, and being able to speak about knowledgeably expose or oppose what is taking place in our culture today. That is, what's your assessment then of, where we find people, especially even people that are in the church? What's your assessment of that?
Well, I'll go back to Time magazine listed J.I. Packer, Dr. J.I. Packer, he's in his late 80s now,
yes,
as one of the top 25 most influential evangelicals in America.
Mm.
He's especially known for his classic work, Knowing God, which I'm sure you've read that, Kevin.
Yes.
And he's been, Time described him as a doctrinal Solomon. They said he's also been dubbed as a theological traffic cop. Well, at the end of an extraordinary lifetime of scholarship, he writes a book called Grounded in the Gospel.
Mm.
And in it, he presents his final analysis of his church, of the church. He says that which you quoted earlier, that the greatest challenge for the 21st century church is catechesis.
Mm.
That's a somewhat obscure word. We don't use that normally, but right. By catechesis, Packer means getting believers grounded in the essentials of the faith, kind of laying a consistent, systematic groundwork for the Christian life. And this is what he concludes after a lifetime evaluation of the church. He says, where wise catechesis has flourished, the church has flourished. And where it has been neglected, the church has floundered. And he traces that historically, even through the history of the church. He has a good quote by Calvin, I don't have it with me now, about the importance of it. But I think that's a significant analysis that should not go unnoticed, especially coming from someone like J.I. Packer.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same book, he quotes Michael Spencer. I think he's no longer alive, but he's written about a possible evangelical collapse. And this is what Michael Spencer says. He says, we evangelicals have failed to pass on to our young people an orthodox form of faith that can take root and survive the secular onslaught. Ironically, the billions of dollars we spend on youth ministers, Christian music, publishing, and media has produced a culture of young Christians who know next to nothing about their own faith except how they should feel about it. Then he says, coming generations of Christians are going to be monumentally ignorant and unprepared for culture-wide pressures.
Hmm.
And I think what's happened over the last couple of decades or so, there's nothing really wrong with this. There's almost the serendipity approach to discipleship where you kind of get together and you share your feelings, you talk about different things, which we need that fellowship. But as far as being grounded in historic sound biblical theology, there's been very few works that are out there that you can take and use, and that they're transferable, and you can pass on historic sound biblical theology, and they can in turn use it to pass on to do the same, to make disciples themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, also, it's you asked where are we at right now.
Yeah.
I think it was about 6 years ago when Willow Creek released the results of a massive multi-year study.
I remember that.
Among their vast, circle of churches, just to find out what really helps people to become devoted followers of Christ.
And mm-hmm.
The findings were published in a book called Reveal, Where Are You? And I think the most significant discovery was that there was a definite lack in the area of discipleship. And I have to hand it to Bill Hybels. He even humbly acknowledged that there is an unmet need, which is crying out for access to more rigorous intellectually and theologically learning opportunities, and the challenges to higher levels of devotion to Christ. And recently, too, Francis Chan, you probably know him.
Yes.
He pastored one of the largest churches in Ventura County, California. He felt led to step down from that position to basically just to search out God's will in regard to what's the best way to do church. And his whole focus now has come to discipleship, multiplying. In fact, he wrote a book just recently on, I think it's called To Multiply. But he spoke at a Thrive conference earlier this year, and this is what he said. He said, make sure we're clear make sure that the name of the game is making disciples, really making disciple makers, he says. It means that we reach the unreached and train them to be disciple makers. If I can simplify, that is the goal of our life. That is the goal as leaders. That is the goal, our goal as Christians, to reach the unreached and train them to be disciple makers. And so I think the church is awakening to the need that there really is this crying need, you know, to be grounded in the faith. I think about a song that came into my head a few weeks ago. Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I think the lyrics from that hit, 1969, I think they played that in Midnight Cowboy or whatever. That was my pre-Christian days. But I think of that song when I think about discipleship, because everybody, you know, pastors, authors, leaders, people on talk radio, they've been talking to me over a half a decade about how discipleship is such a great need in the church. But I think at this point, you know, nobody's disagreeing, but also it seems like nobody's hearing a word they're saying.
Yes.
Because we're the discipleship guides that can actually be used to make disciples who become disciple makers. And so...
Yeah, well, excellent point. You know, a number of things you pointed out with Willow Creek. I remember that study that was done. I always wanted to do a follow-up with them afterwards, because they said that their own self-critique was, and others had been saying this for a long period of time, that they were a mile wide and only an inch deep, but their own self-critique was that they were theologically shallow, that they didn't know what the Bible said and didn't know how to apply it to their lives, and that was their words. And the part that's really disturbing about that is not only was what they were doing at Willow Creek for themselves, but they were bringing in ministers from all over the world who were coming in there to learn the methodology of Willow Creek, and which we see this happen very often when you get these large churches like a Willow Creek or a Saddleback or whatever, that they then become, you know, a training house for other ministries that say, hey, we want to do what they're doing. So they go there and they spend some time there learning the methodology or whatever, and then taking that out to their congregation and hoping for similar results. Well, you know, thousands were trained there, coming in from all over to learn this. And here we find out then they say, hey, we're theologically shallow. So not only it was replicated, it was multiplied then, that methodology that didn't really center on the foundations of the faith, on the doctrinal truths and the systematic teaching of these things to their people. So I certainly can see the need when we use that as an illustration. Even beyond that, I find in our churches today, many people seem to think this way, but there's an anti-intellectualism that seems to be in the church today, that doctrine divides, doctrine is dead, and you know they don't look very fondly on learning theological truths and then using that truth to then fuel godly living. And I think that that is a huge problem, because I believe that we go from doctrine to deeds, and we go from belief to behavior. And you can't possibly live the Christian life unless you understand the doctrines that are taught to us in the Word of God. So I say a hearty amen to what you've written here in this book. And I want to, in the second half of the program, I want to get right into the book. I want to start looking at these three sections that are listed there in your book.
Sure.
And then we'll start letting some folks know exactly what's in there and why this book would be such a great help for them. By the way, you mentioned Dr. J.I. Packer. I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Packer in 2008. And for our listening audience, if you'd like to hear that interview, you can go out onto www.sermonaudio.com, where we're live streaming right now the broadcast. A live webcast is taking place. But out there, if you just type in the word Packer or J.I. Packer in the search engine, it'll bring up my interview. I spoke with him about his book called In My Place Condemned He Stood, talking about the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a great interview, and you can go out there and listen to that. Let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. When we come back from the break, we'll go ahead and continue through our study. We're talking today with Ken Erisman. He's the author of the book Grounded in the Faith. It's published by Baker Publishing Group. That's www.bakerpublishinggroup.com. You can go out there in order to find out more about how you can get a copy of this book. When we come back from the break, we'll start going through the three sections of this book, the levels as it's mentioned there. So stay tuned. You won't want to miss that.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Are conservatives just a bunch of extremists? Newly uncovered documents seem to indicate that's what the Department of Defense thinks. On the next Janet Mufford Show, we'll talk about it with Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch. Plus, pastors are joining forces to oppose the San Antonio planned discrimination against Christians. Matt Staver from Liberty Council will stop by to talk about it. That and more next time on the Janet Mufford Show.
This afternoon from 3 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul. Last year, we launched Ligonier Connect, an online learning experience designed to let you study the Word of God with trustworthy scholars and theologians by watching video lectures, posting answers to questions, and interacting with classmates. Today, I'm pleased to announce we've added several new courses from the Ligonier Teaching Fellows, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Stephen Lawson, and R.C. Sproul, Jr. Probably the most popular enhancement is the new option for unlimited access for only $9 a month. This gives you access to every course. That's over 40 courses in biblical studies, theology, Christian living, and more. I hope that Ligonier Connect will be an encouragement as you study the Word of God and learn of His holiness. Why don't you give it a try? To learn more or to subscribe today, visit Ligonier.org/connect. Or call 800-435-4343.
When B&C Cleaners open, they promise their customers quality and convenience with a friendly and knowledgeable staff without taking them to the cleaners on price. And today, B&C Cleaners is still satisfying customers, carrying through with that promise. They have two convenient locations to serve you. They have been located in Greenville on Wade Hampton Boulevard at Church Street since 1959. In Simpsonville, they are at Hillcrest Cleaners behind Coach House Restaurant. It's time to switch to B&C Cleaners.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back to both of our audiences, the online audience that was just watching that edited version of Ken Erisman's YouTube clip describing his book, the folks out there at watching via www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. You got to see that. And welcome back to the folks here on the airwaves in the four states that we're broadcasting in, all of South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. So welcome back to you as well. And you got to hear partially one of the commercials that ran was the advertisement there for Ligonier Connect. That is just such a great resource. I just thank God every week just about for the ministry there at Ligonier Ministries. Dr. Sproul and what they've produced there has just been a real benefit to myself and to the congregation that I pastor out in Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. Currently, we're watching his foundation series, and so a number of different lessons, 23-minute videos we watch on a Wednesday night, and then we discuss them briefly, and then we go to the Lord in prayer. So if that's something that you want to participate in, you certainly can get in touch with us. You can shoot me an email at kttradio@gmail.com. That's kttradio@gmail.com. I'll be happy to let you know about the directions to the church and how you can participate in some of those things. So we just really enjoy Dr. Sproul. That one's talking about you can view a number of their videos online for $9 a month, unlimited. Just a great resource. We actually had one that we did through the radio broadcast. I think it might still be available. I'm not sure if it's still available for free because I signed up early. But we did the one on the parables of Christ. And if you put in the keyword KTT radio in the coupon code area on there, the discount code, you were able to watch that one on the parables of Christ taught by Dr. R.C. Sproul absolutely free. So you can still go ahead and try it and see if that's available to you. I know Mike Tarduno, elder at the church that I pastor, him and his family right now have been looking through the one on, he was telling me the other day, on Isaiah. So I think they're looking at some of the major prophets in the Old Testament, and Dr. Sproul is teaching about Isaiah currently in the one that they're participating in. So, I mean, we have an embarrassment of riches in the Christian faith today of so many great ministries that have pulled together so many real helpful material in the Christian life. And we're talking about one of those today. And this one is actually has a foreword by Dr. J.I. Packer. Jerry Bridges gave an endorsement for the book as well. And the book is called Grounded in the Faith. And that's the title of the book. And the book is published by Baker Publishing Group. You can go out to their website, www.bakerpublishinggroup.com, in order to find out how you can get a copy of this book. It looks really good. It looks like it's really easy to use and so forth. And there are some discussion questions in it and those types of things as well. So you can really learn the basic but profound, deep truths, theological truths of the Scriptures. Let's talk about a couple of those truths today with the author of that book. And the author is Ken Erisman. He's our special guest on the program today. Ken, just for the break, I said I wanted to break it down into those levels that you have in the book. The first level that you talk about, why don't you describe the various levels for us, and then we'll delve down into a couple of the topics that are there.
Okay. The level, well, could I mention the methodology?
Please do.
Normally, there's a lot of, quote, discipleship books that are out there, and they kind of ask questions of people who are being discipled who really have no knowledge of anything, and so they ask them the question, and the respondent gives an answer, usually not very correct, and so the discipleship coach, you know, then has to kind of, you know, work with it. Well, that, you know, I hear what you're saying, but maybe this and that. This is kind of designed so it has 3 points in every session. The first one is just listen. There's a short block of information that actually kind of teaches, and it gives information. And then second, there's an absorbed statement where it summarizes what has just been stated, so that you have time just to kind of pause and to think about, okay, this is what has just been said. And then there's an interact question or questions, which really are kind of designed to learn more. And they're the type of questions that you're not going to give the wrong answer to. It's really tied into comprehending what has just been stated. And so that three-step goes throughout the book, and we think it really works well.
Yeah, I think that's a great
approach.
And this
really has been field tested. You know, I've been working with this for months, actually years. And a pastor, he's retired now, he shared with me about a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, when I was a pastor initially, he said, people would talk about discipleship. He said, the truth is, I really didn't know how to do it.
Mm.
And he, of course, he knew the Bible, and, you know, and he knew there were other books out there, but basically he didn't have the kind of a comprehensive tool to, you know, to use that he could take someone through, and then when that person was through going through it, you know, that person could in turn, you know, take somebody else to it. And so you really are making disciples who become disciple makers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the number of lessons there, what did I, was it 23 or maybe I had
24.
24.
24, and they're broke up into three levels. There's level one, level two, and level three. And again, if I ramble on here, just interrupt me, Kevin. I don't want...
I'm good at interrupting. Yeah, I could do that.
But it starts off with justification, really understanding what justification is all about, and that's just bedrock. If you get that wrong, everything kind of crumbles.
Mm.
But it starts off, and this it's good in this sense too, because let's say you have a friend at work, and as you're talking with them, you're not even sure if they're a Christian or not, but they're kind of interested in knowing more. You could engage them in a discipleship gathering, you know, either one or two or three. I think it works best, what I found, where you have at least three people together, maybe
mm-hmm.
four or five even works well.
Mm-hmm.
And so group discipleship or, you know, even one-to-one works. But you go through, the first session basically helps you understand why we need justification from God,
mm-hmm.
why we need to be declared righteous, because there's no way we can keep the law, and so it kind of goes through the law, and people see, obviously I've broken many of God's laws. And then the second part of justification, it deals with terms like redemption, propitiation, and imputation. But it breaks it down in such a way so that people can really understand what these terms mean and how precious and valuable they are, so then when they read Romans and Galatians and other places, they can really understand Ephesians, you know, what these terms, how they really apply to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, the third session deals with our incredible spiritual benefits, our calling, you know, just even the sovereign work of God calling us to himself is amazing. And
amen.
But I'll go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just giving an amen when you mentioned the sovereign work of God. But let me give people, our listening audience, a little bit of a flavor for what these sections are like. Let me read the opening part of the lesson on justification. And,
okay,
of course, they start right here. It says this. I don't know if you have it there in front of you, but if you did, I'd let you. You want to read it? Why don't you go ahead and read the...
You're probably a better reader than I am.
Okay.
So
okay, let me read it then. It says, purpose of session one. In this session, you will learn that all humans are lawbreakers. We have all broken at least one of God's laws. You will also learn that God declares the Christian righteous, morally perfect, not by the Christian's good acts, but by faith in Jesus Christ. This amazing truth is called justification, and understanding it will give you an astonishing appreciation for God's love and mercy and a deep sense of relief from guilt. Justification, being declared righteous before God, is one of the most significant and encouraging truths of the Christian faith. So that's the purpose statement that starts the lesson. And then secondly, it says, as Ken was just pointing out a minute ago, it says to listen. And the question there coming after listen is, are you good enough? As we start the initial session, it would be interesting to discover how you view our society, how you think most people in our culture would answer this question. How does a person get to heaven? And then the most common responses given go something like this: by trying to be a good person, or by doing enough, by not hurting people, or not being selfish, or by being the best that I can be, doing what is right, or by trying to live a moral life, you know, letting your good outweigh your bad. And so there's a number of these questions that are there then, and then it goes into a discussion about the New Testament describes these types of attempts as to get right with God as works. It's all human works trying to earn, now I'm not reading directly from it, but human works trying to earn our own righteousness before God. So that should give you a little bit of an idea. Then it goes into absorb and then interact after that. But there's what we find in this idea of the methodology that's used here in this book in order to teach this important truth. Did I leave out anything, Ken?
No, that's great. That's great. And on session two of justification, I would point out that some of the questions that we ask initially, and this helps you, you have to almost imagine you being, let's say that you have a listener out there or listeners that are saying, look, I would like to disciple other people, help other people to be grounded in the faith by using this book. If we've made it so user-friendly, but the problem is, you know, the term user-friendly is usually associated with just shallowness,
right,
and just surface. But what I've really tried to do is to have this, have deep reformation depth, but at the same time making it user-friendly.
Mm.
For example, in session two, I think on page 25 there, you have the introduction, kind of what you like what you read just a moment ago. And so one of the first questions on the interact is, choose one of the following three questions to answer. What are injustice and injustice? Or number two, have you ever experienced something in your life where you felt was an injustice? Or number three, what do you think of when you hear the phrase an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? What the questions actually do, they stir up our thoughts, in this case, about what is justice all about? And they're the type of questions that people can answer. And now they're really primed. They're thinking, yeah, I kind of know what justice feels like. And then it talks about the judge's dilemma. How can God justify us when we're guilty? Mm-hmm. How can he pronounce people righteous who are absolutely guilty? And so it sets up the very thing that we're going to talk about. And so it's designed to really help us to learn as you go through it.
And I like the way that...
Also,
go ahead.
I just talked with a young man who headed up the ministry here in Kansas City at UMKC for Crew or Campus Crusade,
mm-hmm.
and he was just sharing, you know, to have someone study an hour or two before they meet, you know, to prepare things. He said, in this day and age, it's just really tough to get people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This guide, what you can do, you can just take it. I mean, it's much better if you read it through, you know,
sure.
if you're the coach. But if not, you could almost just take the book and just show up with some guys and just begin to read it and discuss. And the whole thing is almost like it runs on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, it's not shallow. You know, you're really learning about justification. You're learning things about propitiation, imputation.
Mm.
The next chapter, chapter 3, deals, you know, with things like regeneration and conversion and salvation, adoption. I mean, you're learning what those things are, how they apply to your life, and I think it just really works.
I love the format of it. You've done an excellent job. Let me mention, too, that you bring in a number of quotes from a number of other Christian leaders. Like, I'm looking at one here, and this was by Philip Ryken. So you bring in a quote by him dealing with some aspect of the subject of justification that you're speaking about. You've got another quote here about the heart. The human heart is an idol factory, which I think was originally attributed to... was it John Calvin or Martin Luther? One of the two had originally spoken about that, about us just, you know, we're constantly leaning towards idolism in the heart and seeking to replace God and dethrone God in the human heart. But this particular quote then is Tim Keller quoting about that or speaking about that subject. And, of course, he had written that book, Counterfeit Gods, and so it deals with that entire subject of idolism. So you really weave those pieces in there that really help to look at the various subjects from different perspectives and to really thoroughly go through this. I was curious, have you found anybody using this as maybe like a new members class or something like that in a church where you could specifically go through and make sure that they understand the basic doctrines that the church will be teaching?
Well, it just came out July 15th, and so I haven't heard of that yet, but that would be a great usage of it. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I would
and
think
in
so.
In fact, last night, we have some friends that they have a cell church that they're just starting, and they have a handful of people just gathering, and they just started to use it. Some of them have been believers for years, but one of the comments that people keep making is, man, I wish I had this years ago when I first started out. He said, where was this, you know, when I first got saved? But it's not only just, I think, just for when you first get saved, you know, these truths are timeless in our lives, and we need to keep coming back to them again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really for both mature believers or someone just starting out in the faith.
Right. One thought on that, Ken. When we say that, and I understand exactly what you're saying, and I can understand people saying that, but truthfully, these are the things I teach every Sunday. The poor state of what we see in our society today is we're getting, you know, 3 points how to be a helpful husband from the pulpit or something. And so to a lot of people, they're going, man, where was this stuff? Well, it was supposed to be in the pulpit from the very beginning.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be in touch.
Exactly.
So for me, this would be tremendous to reinforce what is already being taught in the church and to
Absolutely.
Break it down into these nuggets and bite-sized nuggets and easy-to-digest ways that you put it here. But I think that, and I'm sure you do by your comments right there, but this is the responsibility of the church to be teaching these things. If you go to a church and you're not learning these things about the Bible, you've been shortchanged. Because I always tell our folks, you have a reasonable expectation when you come to this church. We have an expectation of you, and you should have an expectation of us. And the most basic expectation that you should have coming here is that you will learn what the Bible has to say. And if you're not learning the Bible in the church that you're going to, there's a problem there, because you should be learning what the Bible is teaching about. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, that's you're right on target. Mm. There's almost this, you know, you've asked about the state of the church. I think for several years, this almost attitude of, don't give me theology, just give me Jesus.
Yeah.
But can you have Jesus without theology?
No.
it's impossible, because theology is the study of God, and the real issue is whether the study of God is biblical or distorted, or whether it's weak or strong.
He's called the Logos, right? The Word of God. He is the Word of God. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think what church historian John Hanna, what he writes, he says, the quest for the knowledge of God is not an idle pastime. Spiritual vitality in any era is found in people who know their God, and the greatest danger for the church is ignorance of God. I thought he's just right on. And then he also says, this is one other quote, no one can walk with a person he or she does not know. Neither can we say we walk with God if we do not have an accurate knowledge of him. Theology is not about an admiration of a series of gathered insights, however wonderful these insights may be. It's about responding appropriately and regularly to God. The church has at times swung between an arid faith full of knowledge but with little vitality and an experience-centered faith with little intellectual context.
Mm-hmm.
Content. An overemphasis in either direction has proven destructive to the Christian experience. But you need good theology, because good theology really is transformational. I mean, it guides us into good praxis.
Exactly. You know, we're talking about knowing God, as you referred to earlier on, you know, J.I. Packer's book. And as you're talking about knowing God, if I said to you, you know your wife, tell me a little bit about her. And so you go, oh, you know, my wife, you know, she loves to cook, and she's really good with the kids, and, you know, she's just fantastic and all these different. I could tell you, I could spend, this broadcast and the rest of the year on broadcast telling you all the different aspects of different elements associated with her. Why? Because I know my wife. Now, when you say to a Christian, you know, tell me something about Christ, and, well, I don't really know that much, but I have these feelings about Christ and so forth. I mean, we should be able to see something of the absurdity of it. You know, certainly we should be able to speak about him and to speak about the doctrines that God has revealed to us in his word. And if we can't, that tells us that there's a tremendous problem there. Hey, this area of justification, I think it was Packer or possibly Bridges who had kind of highlighted the idea of both parts of this. And he said justification, we like to say just as if I had never sinned, and just as if I had always obeyed, the two sides of that. So the pain for our price on Calvary by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also the earning of a perfect righteousness by Christ in his 33 years here upon the face of the earth, where he lived, kept the law of God absolutely perfectly. The impeccable righteousness of Christ is imputed to us by faith. I find a lot of people don't know much about that second part, the imputed righteousness of Christ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think John Piper wrote a whole book on it, you know, a great book on imputation.
Yes, exactly. There's a number of works out there, but I think you're right. I think Piper did write about that book. Ken, we're only going to get a chance to go through the first one here today. And but I think we've whet people's appetite to let them know what they're going to find in this book. And let me say to you, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time, a labor of love here, to put your effort into writing this book and the way that you wrote it. We really appreciate that, and I'm going to recommend it to my fellow pastors in the ministry, that they look to using this book as a tool in their ministry. And thank you so much also for taking time out then. I know you're very busy there working on other things and church planting and pastoring and so forth. But thank you so much for visiting with us to talk about the book today on the program. It's something we really appreciate.
Well, it's my great privilege, Kevin, and you've done me a great favor. And could I mention a website? Would that be okay?
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
It's just called groundedinthefaith.com. You look there, Challies.com just did a review of it. They gave me a great review, and I'm very grateful to Tim, very graciously gave a great review as well. But groundedinthefaith.com is...
Groundedinthefaith, all one word, .com. I'll go ahead and mention that again here at the end of the broadcast as well. Excellent. I'm glad that there's a specific page for it as well that we can go to. That works out even better. Thank you so much, Ken, once again for your work that you're doing. I pray that God will mightily use this. This will be a real blessing to the church.
Well, God bless you and your great ministry.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, again, that was Ken Arisman. We were talking about his book called Grounded in the Faith, and he just mentioned that there's a specific website by that name, groundedinthefaith.com, and you can go out there to find out more about the book and about Ken and the work that he's doing and so forth. The book is published by Baker Publishing Group, and so you can also get it out at their website as well. You can go out there in order to see how you can get a copy. There is a YouTube presentation. We played it on the webcast, and you can Google his name and with YouTube afterwards, and it'll take you right to that. It's about a five-minute, I think, YouTube clip that's out there that's telling about the book and why Ken feels the book is important. He gives you a good synopsis of the book out there and talking about the comprehensive nature of the book and including the various elements that we talked about. And so all of those items are available to you out there. I would imagine, I haven't been to groundedinfaith.com yet, but I would imagine maybe that clip is out there as well. Maybe our interview with Ken will show up out there. He'll put a link to it out there. By the way, it will be available. We do upload all of the interviews, both the audio and the visual version of them are located out there on Sermon Audio as well. And again, that's www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. And you can go out there to listen to all of our, I think there's 700, closing in on 800 broadcasts that we have out there now, and so you can go out and listen to them. Tomorrow, James Devine will be my guest on the program tomorrow. We'll be talking about intelligent design, and then Fred Sanders on Thursday. And we'll be talking about the work of John Wesley. You don't want to miss it. In all of these things, there's one common denominator. In all of these things, Jesus said this. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.